It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. A few minutes after 6 on your Wednesday morning. It is Wednesday, right? I'm kind of, everything's blurry at this point. I'm not used to staying up that late, but I stayed up and watched the very end of the debate last night, as I'm sure a lot of you did. I know, Kim, you stayed up and watched it.
Carl, I thought it was a good debate, by the way.
Carl was working.
Right? At a hockey game.
Yeah.
Lose, loss.
Sorry.
Didn't you think it was one of the most cordial debates? It was almost odd how many times the candidates said they agreed with one another.
I'm sorry to hear that about.
Yeah, I kind of wish Vance had gone after him a little more. But one thing you're going to notice this morning, if you just go on to your web browser, which is probably Google, and you Google who won the debate, all of the expected websites, CBS, CNN, Politico, they all say it was a tie. No human being who watched that debate could think that J.D. Vance did not win that running away, like gaining steam as he was trampling on this Waltz character, who was in many cases unprepared and searched for answers, couldn't answer certain questions. I mean, I think there were missed opportunities on both sides, but there's no doubt that J.D. Vance won this poll lesson, in my opinion. I put out a poll on Twitter immediately after, and it's still up. You can still vote on it. I set it for 11 hours, so before the end of the show today at around 8:40, that poll is going to wrap up. Feel free to go on there, Mark Cox 971 on Twitter, on X, and cast your vote. And tell me who you think won. We have had over 800 votes at this point, and we got 2.5 hours left. So please go cast your vote, share it. Let's see what you think. If that's as unscientific as anything CBS did, but it's not, at this point, it's not even close. It's not even close. And that's what drives me crazy. And even more evidence, if you didn't see it last night, that the moderators in this debate were all in. I mean, all in for Tim Walz.
Yeah, I know. I think it was another 3-on-1 debate, but I think that J.D. Vance had a really good mix of being aggressive at times. And sure, maybe he missed some shots he could have taken against Tim Walz. But I'd say overall, he had a great mix of being aggressive, but really showing a lot of compassion. And I think that's something that we don't tend to get from Donald Trump, right? He kind of had this stern look on his face during the debate with Kamala Harris. And that was totally opposite of J.D. Vance, who even at one point when Tim Walz was talking about his son, I guess, witnessing a shooting at one point at some community center. And the first thing out of J.D. Vance's mouth after that was, "I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that had happened to your son."
Yeah, that caught Walz off.
It did.
Guard.
And it's funny because I watched Walz and he is so expressive, just like Kamala Harris. His eyes were bugging out of his head quite often last night, but he would turn to J.D. Vance while he was talking and shake his head almost as if he was in agreement, to the point where I thought, does he actually, maybe he secretly wants to vote for J.D. Vance, because he seems to be agreeing with what he's saying a lot.
The tweet of the night came from Marjorie Taylor Greene. There's a picture of Margaret Brennan staring lovingly at Tim Walz, and it says, "Find someone that looks at you the way CBS moderators look at Tim Walz."
It's true.
It's absolutely the truth. It kind of summed up the evening. In my personal opinion. We're going to get to more on that. We got John Schweppe coming up, who is with the American Principles Project. I'm going to get his take on the debate. So you're listening to somebody else's thoughts on it besides mine and Kim this morning. And we're going to get to that for you here in just a couple of minutes. First, though, let's hear a couple clips from that debate in our top stories, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Governor, you previously opposed an assault weapons ban, but it only later in your political career did you change your position. Why?
Yeah, I sat in that office with those Sandy Hook parents. I've become friends with school shooters. I've seen it.
Wow. Clearly, I don't believe that's what he meant to say, but just like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, he was completely unaware of what he had just said, and he moved right on. That is a pretty evident lack of presence of mind on the part of Tim Walz.
Thank
Margaret,
you.
The rules were that you guys weren't going to fact check. And since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on. So there's an application called the CBP One app.
Yeah. I loved that. They wanted nothing to do with that. They did not want to give J.D. Vance a chance to stop them from fact checking him, which they had agreed not to do. And he schooled them on it.
It's pretty clear, Vance outclassed Walz tonight. I mean, I was watching this and all I could think of was, man, Walz is so in over his head.
Yeah, that's Scott Jennings. He's a Republican, but he was on CNN and he got several of the commentators on CNN to agree with him that J.D. Vance was the class of that operation last night.
I speak a lot about the leaders of Iran, yet at this pivotal moment, I want to address you, the people of Iran.
Yeah, Bibi Netanyahu there from Israel speaking yesterday, addressing the people of Iran. And he said, it's coming. Relief is coming. In other words, you need to overthrow the people who are the biggest state sponsors of terrorism in the world. A regime, by the way, supported by the Biden-Harris administration in so many different ways. Without coming out and expressing support for them, they gave them billions of dollars back that Donald Trump denied them, and they've clearly used it to fund Hezbollah or Wasbollah, whatever you want to call them, who used to have a bunch of pagers that they probably paid for with Iranian money. Now some of them are missing certain body parts as a result of that. And they funded the terrorists in Gaza, Hamas. October 7th would not have been a possibility without the support of the Iranian regime. Now, why did they bomb Israel yesterday? They bombed Israel because they're mad that the Israelis took out a bunch of the Hezbollah terrorists, who are their primary terrorist group that they support. This is like their home team.
The head honcho they took out.
Yeah, they were mad
about
that.
Just a few days ago.
Nasrallah.
Thank goodness for the Iron Dome that intercepted so many of those missiles. I was listening to, watching and listening to these videos on social media yesterday, you know, where people, you just see them flying overhead and you hear the sirens going off, warning people about this, go to the bomb shelters. And I think about how that's just normal when you live in Israel. Can you imagine? That's just like, oh, yep, the sirens are going off again. More missiles headed our way. That is so every day.
And I've argued for many years that every Jewish American who supports the Democratic Party should have to go live in Israel for a month or two and experience some of that. Because it's pretty routine that there are either some sort of a terrorist attack in the street by these nut job lefty crazed Palestinians, or there are air sirens going off, and you have to go get in bomb shelters. And I think if you lived through that for a month, you'd start to realize what's at stake here. Too many people don't, who voice support for Israel, but don't show support for Israel. So I don't know when Israel retaliates. I think it's going to happen sometime today or tomorrow. They're not going to telegraph it. Things are just going to start blowing up around Tehran, and they're going to wonder what the hell hit them. That's coming. If that happens during the show, we will be sure to alert you. Stay tuned for that. Coming up, we'll get to John Schweppe. He's got some thoughts on the debate last night. It's the American Principles Project. We'll get to him right after.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
After the break.
Now, Governor Waltz brought up the community of Springfield, and he's very worried about the things that I've said in Springfield. Look, in Springfield, Ohio, and in communities all across this country, you've got schools that are overwhelmed. You've got hospitals that are overwhelmed. You've got housing that is totally unaffordable because we brought in millions of illegal immigrants to compete with Americans for scarce homes. The people that I'm most worried about in Springfield, Ohio, are the American citizens who have had their lives destroyed by Kamala Harris's open border. It is a disgrace, Tim. And I actually think, I agree with you. I think you want to solve this problem, but I don't think that Kamala Harris does.
Wow. One of J.D. Vance's strongest performances last night, I thought, was on that Springfield issue. I didn't hear the word cats or dogs mentioned. I really expected Waltz to bring that up. They're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs. That didn't get brought up, but he did talk about Springfield.
Well,
and he handled it well.
He mentioned how they had to, you know, deal with the kids and escort them because of the chaos that they spread, supposedly.
Crazy. Hey, let's get to our guest, John Schweppe, joining us right now, a director of policy and government affairs for the American Principles Project. John, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing this morning? We're kind of bleary-eyed after staying up later than normal to watch that thing.
I will tell you, I'm in good spirits, man. I really thought Vance did an exceptional job. And, you know, everyone knew this was a smart guy, very capable, thought he'd do well. But he came across as likable, competent, really just handled all the issues really well. I mean, when you have a guy, a Republican, walking away from the climate change answer and the abortion answer, either playing to a draw or slightly winning, you know you had a pretty good night.
How'd you think the moderators did?
To be honest with you, I mean, we knew the moderators would be ridiculous. I think, you know, the moment where we're debating how the immigrants got to Springfield, Ohio, and all that, and they tried to fact check JD, and then he just basically asserted, I don't want to say asserted dominance, but he did it in such a way that was like not over the top, but also very presidential, and you know, corrected them, and they had to actually mute his mic.
Yeah.
They looked completely ridiculous, and you know, I think it was a 3-on-1 scenario, just like what we saw before with Trump and Harris. But this time, I just don't think it even dented Vance. I think he came across looking like he won the debate.
Yeah, he came out of that 3-on-1 like Mike Tyson would out of a 3-on-1 fight. I mean, he came out on top. Here was the moment when they cut the debate, when they cut the mics in the debate, and Margaret Brennan and Norah O'Donnell were giddy with each other. Listen.
Since 1990. It's something that Kamala Harris created, Margaret.
Gentlemen, the audience can't hear you because your mics are cut. We have so much we want to get to. Thank you for explaining the legal process. Norah.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you for saving us. Who made the decision to cut the mics? That's what I want to know. Why did they not want the American people to hear that?
Yeah, I think it was everything that the American people hate about the media, the just sheer arrogance to think that they matter more than the vice presidential candidates. You know, I think people wanted to hear Vance going back and forth with Walls and, you know, not these two journalists. And so, you know, once again, just the sheer hubris on display, just pretty incredible to watch.
Do you think this could help Trump in the polls at all? Bump him up a couple points?
I do. I think, you know, for a lot of voters, J.D. Vance is a bit of an unknown. You know, he's still pretty new to the scene. Remember, I mean, he just won his Senate seat a couple of years ago. And so, you know, I think a lot of them were unsure about him. I know, you know, I'm in a lot of group chats with folks from home, even people who are not political, who are just kind of like, oh, this guy he's pretty good. He's likable. He knows the issues. And so, you know, I think, and you could even say this about Walls, you know, I think last night was very substantive where, you know, certainly Kamala Harris is somebody who's completely incapable of what Walls did last night. Not that Walls, you know, had the best debate. I think Vance definitely outclassed him. But certainly, Walz was much more competent than his boss.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think the word, maybe what everybody's looking for last night on Vance was presidential. I think he looked presidential in the way he handled. He handled the debate like you should handle a debate. You got 2 minutes. Take the first minute explaining your last answer or responding to the last thing your opponent said, and then refocus and answer the question. He was really good about that. You don't see that a lot in debates. He redirected the question back to the moderator and said, now, Margaret, to answer your question, and then he addressed it. And I thought he did that repeatedly, and it made him look very reasonable, and it made him it showed leadership qualities, in my opinion.
Yeah, it definitely did. I think a lot of people last night who may have liked Vance before or been, you know, fine with him, saw a potential future president. And, you know, that's certainly something you want in the vice presidential candidate. Both were kind of on display last night. You know, people want to see what the future of the party will be, future of Republicans, future of Democrats. And, you know, I think J.D. passed that test with flying colors.
We were talking earlier this morning about some CBS poll and how it had what I think, Mark, you said J.D. Vance was 41%, Tim Walz was 40%, and 17% said tie. The three of us clearly say J.D. Vance cleaned house last night. Does that surprise you that some people seem mixed or that it was a tie?
No, I think, you know, people who came in, you saw this with some of the focus groups, too, on some of the left-wing networks last night where, oh, you know, supposedly this is an undecided voter, and they're like, Vance, you know, didn't give me anything. I think there's always going to be post-debate propaganda, the spin to try to make people think, oh, it was fine. But when you're looking, and I've been scrolling Twitter this morning, when you have the New York Times, when you have, like, all these left-wing pundits, like, basically saying, yeah, actually, Vance did win, you know, and also just the fact that the first 30 minutes of the debate, Walz really did look like a deer in headlights while yeah. J.D. came across as very competent. That's the most important part of the debate, right? Then people were turning into baseball after that. So, you know, I think he, you know, I feel pretty confident Vance helped move the ball.
Yeah. John, where can people find out more about the American Principles Project?
Well, we're at AmericanPrinciplesProject.org, and you can check us out on Twitter at AP Project.
Excellent. John, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. John Schweppe there from American Principles Project. Yeah, interesting. I got my own poll going. I started it last night since the debate ended, before I passed out in the bed and just said, who do you think won? Go to X there, at Mark Cox 971. That's MARCCOX 971. And you can vote. The poll's going to be up for at least 2 more hours. I got it ending around 8:40, I think, this morning. So you got plenty of time to go express your opinion on what happened. You've also got the caller line. If you're on the Odyssey app, hit the microphone button there by the 971 logo and tell us what you think. We'll try to open the phone lines up maybe next hour and let you call in here and give us your thoughts on J.D. Vance and Tim Walz and what impact this might have on the race. All right. Coming up, we will check in with Nicole Murray, find out what happened in the market yesterday. You know, Kim, I heard you tell this story in the news the other day. You had this story about the police downtown getting help from unarmed security guards, right?
Yeah, they're calling them ambassadors who are going to walk around and can escort you to your car, answer questions.
Greater St. Louis, Inc. is going to foot the bill for that, right?
Yes.
Why don't we just call that what it is, because the folks at Greater St. Louis are too politically correct to say it. We're going to hire extra security for downtown because Mayor Jones won't. Why won't they just say that? They're down over 400 positions in the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. And they give a lot of lip service to the fact that they're trying to fill those spots, but they're down 400 officers. And I guess the social workers they hired just aren't getting the job done.
Well, they're trying to say now, they came out yesterday, you know, oh, violent crime is down in the city.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's like saying violent crime's down overall. It went down in 2021, and it's skyrocketed since then, and it's dropped the last few months. And they want to argue that violent crime is down across America. I don't know where people get these polls from, but... or these statistics, That's not the reality for the people that live and work in downtown St. Louis. I just had to mention that. I posted that article up on the Facebook page, by the way, the Mark Cox Show on Facebook, if you want. We're also live on Rumble this morning. You can go on there and make comments if you register. Let's get to Nicole, please. Good morning, Nicole Murray. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay. Coffee is flowing, so, you know, eyes are open, pants are on. We're good.
Pants are on, though, that's an accomplishment for you, Nicole?
Listen, the bar is very low over here in New Jersey, okay?
That's funny. So, you know, I saw that obviously the war in Israel, it's not a full-blown war yet, but rockets flying certainly impacted the stock market yesterday, right?
Yeah, oil prices shot up quite a tad. It actually lowered stocks a little bit because of it. Everyone's just scared because they don't know what's going to happen as far as if an all-out war does break out. They're talking about prices of oil going back up to $100 a barrel.
Nobody had that on their bingo card, did they?
There's a lot that is not on my bingo card that continues to happen. So
I might give
up on the game a little bit.
All right, what's going on?
All right. So futures are slightly lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 173, the NASDAQ down 278, and the S&P 500 down 53. Panera Bread has announced another round of layoffs to its corporate employees, though it's unclear how many workers will be impacted. CEO Jose Dueñas said the restructuring will remove silos and simplify leadership reporting lines to make faster decisions and drive more consistent execution. Dueñas added the changes are a continuation of the brand's plan to empower general managers, simplify the operating model, and deliver a better guest experience. Superhero-themed diner Gotham & Eggs has announced its permanent closure in a social media post. Owners said the eatery has been financially struggling after unexpected equipment repairs and replacements, two break-ins, and less foot traffic than expected. Gotham & Eggs was known for its breakfast fare, like the Robin's Nest dish. The International Longshoremen's Association Union went on strike earlier this week, bringing business to a pause at all ports on the East and Gulf Coasts. Experts say because of the strike, the U.S. could soon see a shortage of bananas, pricier imported cherries, seafood, and coffee. U.S. shoppers are expected to boost their holiday spending this year. The average shopper is expected to spend just over $1,600, or a 7% increase from 2023. That's according to PwC. That growth is a sign that consumers are staying resilient despite price increases. U.S. job openings rose unexpectedly in August as the American labor market continued to show resilience. The Labor Department reported employers posted 8 million vacancies in August. That is up from 7.7 million in July. The number of Americans quitting their jobs slid to the lowest level since August of 2020, when the economy was reeling from COVID-19 lockdowns. And finally, Costco has made a new menu item addition to its food court, sushi. However, for now, it is only being offered in Canada. The addition has caused backlash among Americans online asking why the menu item was not added here in the U.S. No word if it is coming to a Costco near you yet.
Wow. Sushi?
You wouldn't try sushi from Costco?
I totally would.
I might. I mean, I get it from like Dearburg sometimes. If I'm in there, they have specials certain days of the week, and you can actually see the guy back there making it.
It's one of the local grocery store chains here, Nicole, and it's actually phenomenal. Now, I have had sushi from some other places. It's a little questionable, but I would trust Costco to do it right.
I would trust Costco with everything. I am such a Costco gal. I love going. I love having the samples. Then you hit up the food court after. I would eat that sushi with pride.
Does that mean we'd get like 16 rolls instead of the typical, what is it, 8?
Oh, I'm sure. It would be like double the amount you would need, right?
30
it would
go bad. Rolls for $10.99.
I don't believe so. From what I saw with pictures, it was 4 pieces of California roll for about $7.50.
No,
in US
4
dollars.
Pieces?
From what I saw, yes. I don't know if that's the only option or the only portion sizes, but I mean, fresh ingredients for sushi, you got to be ready to pay for
it. So here's my question. Is it like where they sell the hot dogs at the checkout, or is it further back in the store somewhere?
I believe it's all in the same area The photos on the article all of a sudden showed sushi. Like, you know, how they have the photos for their menus. It showed the hot dog, it showed the soda, and then it also showed sushi side by side.
Maybe.
Those better be some big rolls.
I'd probably have to try it out. I'd have to try it, but The problem with it is if you have to buy too much of it, it doesn't keep. Like, you can't keep it till the next day.
Yeah, I've done it.
Have you really?
Yeah, it's not the best, but I've done it. Yeah. I don't like to waste food. I was part of the Clean Your Plate Club as a kid, a proud member.
Wow.
And I still take pride in that membership, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And each individual roll does look bigger than the typical piece of sushi that we're used to,
so maybe,
if that helps.
Maybe it'll come to the U.S. right now. It's only available in Canada, eh? Is this true?
I feel left out. I want it here in the U.S.
I really want to try it. I don't know. All right. Thanks, Nicole. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Thanks so much, guys.
Yep, you bet. Thank you. That's like you don't want to like stop at a... Generally speaking, you don't want to stop at a convenience store and get sushi.
Well, no, you don't go to your local gas station and pick up a roll. That's just weird.
But I did tell you that things were different in Italy when I was over there. Like, the gas stations are... Like, you could have a meal that you'd be thrilled with. Pasta, cold cuts, deli meats.
It's like a truck stop.
It is very much more like... But it's not
with
even
a
like
grocery
a
store
truck
in it.
Stop. It's like...
Do they have
it's
tables? It's not like it's a wait staff there, though, right? You would
no,
go to a
counter,
and you'd order it, like if you were going to Subway.
But they do have places for you to sit.
Yeah, deli sandwiches, places for you to sit down and enjoy your meal.
Well, it's like the big truck stops, like Love's or whatever it's called. Yeah. You know what? Wally's? That's the one I'm thinking of
Bucky's.
Here. Bucky's. Yes, people make Bucky's a destination. Ugh. Like, if you are going on a trip, people will go out of their way to stop at Bucky's.
I think Wally's is better because Bucky's is too much. Wally's is
Do you mean too much? Like, it's they're bigger?
They're bigger, and there is just a lot at a Bucky's.
I've never been to a Bucky's. I've driven past one time and considered stopping, but I was towing the camper, and I didn't want to pull in there.
Well, you would have had 200 places to get gasoline.
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of gas pumps, for sure. I've just never been to one. I've been to the Wally's down here in Fenton.
I thought Wally's was better. I went to Bucky's over the summer, and it's a lot.
Remember that guy who made, $1 million or something?
Making
for selling
Bucky's merch.
Yeah, he was selling Bucky's merchandise online. I don't know if he was just buying it himself and then selling it for more, basically, but the guy raked in some money.
Yep. You know who will know that? The guy who reported that story. Which is Ethan Bright.
Ah, and he'll be in here in just a minute with the news coming up. We got our friend Genevieve Wood in the next hour, anxious to hear her take on maybe some follow-up after the debate last night. We got Kim on a Whim coming up a bit later, too. Taylor Riggs is going to join us from the Fox Business Network at about 8:35. We'll be back.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news...
Ken Page, one of Broadway's most familiar character actors who lent his voice to Tim Burton's holiday film classic The Nightmare Before Christmas as the villainous Oogie Boogie, he passed away Monday. He was 70. He got a start in St. Louis Muni Theater before making his Broadway debut in the 1977 in the replacement cast for Cats. A native St. Louis.
Wow, he was a young man. He's only 70 years old.
Yeah, that's young. Died here at his home in St. Louis, but they haven't said what he died from, right?
I didn't see anything.
I didn't see anything either.
He was in Les Mis this year, and then he was supposed to be in Waitress, and then he unexpectedly backed out of that.
So maybe it was something health-related that he'd been struggling with.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've got a couple more deaths for you. John Amos, the actor who... character in Good Time Roots and the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Kunta Kinte.
Lent to the 1970s a solid share of its too few portrayals of strong black men role models. He passed away in Los Angeles of natural causes. He was 84.
Was it McDougal's or McDowell?
McDowell's.
Wasn't it? Coming to America. That was one of my favorite roles for John Amos.
And he was in the second one,
He was in the second one, yeah. Yeah, he did such a great actor.
And then he and Norman Lear got into a fight, and so what'd they do on Good Times?
Killed him off.
Yep.
But then they worked later together, so.
Yeah. The final death was American Picker star Frank Fritz. He died after he suffered a stroke he suffered a stroke 2 years ago, and they think it had complications to do with that. So
I was sorry to hear that. I liked Frank.
Yeah, I did too. Didn't he have some sort of falling out with the other guy? Wasn't there some drama about that?
Well,
I used to watch that show on occasion.
I did too. I think he was just in poor health and had to kind of drop out.
I thought they ripped people off, though. They went to people's houses, said, I could sell this for three times what I'm going to give it to you. And
well, yeah, but Carl, that's everybody that, that does say,
but,
that.
But that's business. You're not going to buy it if you can't make a lot of money from it. It's not worth your while to haul it away and do whatever you need to do to it to get it back on the market. So I get that. Yeah.
But you only that, but it was on TV doing that. But, so they were getting paid anyway.
Yeah, but they're going to visit people who are hoarders.
Hoarders, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and they need to get rid of some stuff, right? And they were never going to get rid of it on their own.
Correct.
So it's a good thing they sold it to those guys.
All right, you've swayed me.
I know, I'm just saying.
I can be persuaded.
I found this a little bit interesting. It looked like Taylor Swift's streaming numbers have dropped significantly since endorsing Kamala Harris for president.
Ooh. She got booed last night at the hockey game.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
When you played her music?
No, the organist played her music, but they did a this or that, and it was Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. You had to pick one. They both got booed.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Maybe people are tired of it.
Well, it might be trouble in paradise, because I know they're saying, oh, Taylor's not been at the last couple Chiefs games.
Here's the thing. I don't want to hear about those two.
There you go.
I think that's what people are reacting to.
Okay, Ethan, move along. Sue's done.
Yeah. Sorry, Sue. I'll just
wait really fast. Did you see a guy spent $4,000 to get a Taylor Swift guitar at an auction and then took a hammer to it right
that
in front of everybody
idea,
and bashed
right?
the whole thing in?
That'll show her.
They handed him the hammer and the guitar at the same time,
and he recorded the whole thing. Yep.
Do you want me to ruin that for you? They said the guitar's fake. It's not really a Taylor Swift guitar.
Ethan, how dare you?
But didn't he pay $4,000 for it?
Yeah, I think it's
so
more of a donation for
charity.
Charity.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
sorry to ruin it.
Yay for the charity, then.
Yeah. I think it was like Future Farmers, so there you go. It's Fat Bear Week. It's returned for its 10th anniversary, featuring brown bears from Brooks Rivers in Alaska's Katmai National Park. After a summer of feeding, the bears have reached their fattest for hibernation. The single elimination tournament starting today allows voters to choose the bear that best represents fatness and success. Vote for me.
I feel like it's Fat Bear Week for me because Mark brought in some delicious McDonald's and I scarfed that down and popcorn.
Yeah, I did.
We all did.
I did read, though, where there were either two different bear attacks this past week because these bears have to consume 20,000 calories a day or something to fatten up, and several of them have attacked the humans in the last week, like Wyoming or Montana, one of the two.
If you want to vote for your favorite bear, go to fatbearweek.org. It looks like CVS Health has announced that it is planning on laying off nearly 2,900 employees nationwide. That represents about 1% of its workforce. The good news, I guess, the job cuts are mainly will affect corporate roles and are a part of an effort to maintain company's peak performance.
I was going to say, are they going to have enough people to give all those COVID boosters they're pushing?
Okay.
It's a good question. It is a fair question. You have to get it from the pharmacist, right?
Yeah.
I guess. Usually,
but they're not firing them. They're firing the corporate people.
You need more people at the checkout line. That's what you need.
It looks like Stellantis announced a recall of over 200,000 Jeep plug-in hybrid models due to fire risks. Surprise, surprise. The recall affects 2020 and 2024 Jeep Wrangler 4XEs and 2022 through 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee 4XE models. It's about 5% of the vehicles potentially have a defect that would cause fires.
Watch out.
That seems bad.
Like, don't park them. Is this like, what do they say? Don't
They're
park
electric
them
ones.
Next to other cars?
Yeah.
That's scary.
20%?
There's so much we don't know.
5% of the vehicles.
Yeah. All right.
Looks like mortgage rates have reached their lowest levels in 2 years, with the average 30 fixed year mortgage at 6.08%, down from 6.9% a week earlier. It's significantly lower than the 7.3% from a year ago.
I mean, moving in the right direction, but that's still high for people trying to get a mortgage. That's a lot.
That should help, Sue, right?
Right.
Yeah. Couldn't hurt. That's for sure. Coming up, we got our friend Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation at about 7:20. Kim on a whim as well before the end of the hour. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week.
In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.